brings us to our second lesson, which is actually moving back a chapter in the book. This is the Deuteronomist's telling of the Ten Commandments. We get them the first time in Exodus 20. We get them again here in Deuteronomy 5. Moses convened all of Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and ordinances that I am addressing to you today. You shall learn them and observe them diligently. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. Not with our ancestors did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. The Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain out of the fire. At that time, I was standing between the Lord and you to declare to you the words of the Lord. But you were afraid because of the fire and did not go up on the mountain. And the Lord said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God has brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, so that your days may be long and it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. Neither shall you commit adultery, neither shall you steal, neither shall you bear false witness against your neighbor, neither shall you covet your neighbor's wife, neither shall you desire your neighbor's field or house or male or female slave or ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, friends, there are traditions in which the Ten Commandments are read every time after the assurance of pardon to make sure we get them. And you have probably heard at least 10 sermons on the Ten Commandments over your lifetime. There is a challenge to them, of course. They are setting up a new order for things, not Pharaoh's order, not Egypt's order, not Moses' order, but God's order. But more than that, they are aspirational. They are hard to keep. Now, Jesus is going to add on to them by the time we get all the way to the New Testament. But it's not because the people have mastered the Ten Commandments. Right? Most of us are okay with the first one, "You shall have no other gods before me," until we see something we really want. Most of us will admit to bending the third commandment, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain." But then we think, "Hey, I'm doing pretty good. I haven't murdered anybody lately." And then we move on down the list, and by the time we get to coveting, we realize perhaps we're not in great shape after all. There is enough content in the Ten Commandments for 1,000 sermons. We're not going to do the 1,000 sermon length sermon today. The thing that strikes me the most in where these two passages, because the Shema is the root of the greatest commandment that we will get later in the New Testament, tied together with the last 3 weeks, is how long it takes to get good at these things. Malcolm Gladwell is an author who has proposed that it takes 10,000 hours of work at something to become an expert or to have mastered it. To do the math on that, we all know that pastors only work an hour a week. So at 52 hours a year, I'm just going to need 200 years of ministry to get there. But think about it as more than that. Those of us who work 40 or 50 hours a week, if you work 50 hours a week, that is 200 weeks. It's 4 years to become an expert at something. That's not a little bit of time. That's a lot of time. So my question is, have we put our 10,000 hours in on keeping God's commandments? Do we even think about it that way, that we need to put the time in and the energy in and the preparation and the lack of distraction and the focus on it? I mean, just to jump into Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall have no other gods. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength." 10,000 hours. How much time have we put into that? I mean, this is what we talk about when we talk about a long road of discipleship, that this stuff takes time and energy and practice. A lot of practice. When I was growing up, nobody made a big deal out of the Ten Commandments. Most people actually kind of ignored them because they were Old Testament-y stuff and we were just all about Jesus. But they've made a comeback, and now they're on yard signs and things like that. People pay attention to them. I don't know that people are following them. There is a difference. And so I wonder how we are living our lives in such a way that we are practicing loving the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our strength. I wonder how we're doing with worshiping only God and not other stuff. Now, we're cheating. We know the rest of this story is that while Moses is getting these commandments on top of the mountain, they're already breaking the one about graven images and worshiping other gods at the bottom of the mountain. I mean, we're in good company with our shortcomings, or at least a lot of company with our shortcomings. How is it that we practice keeping these things? I mean, the Ten Commandments are really kind of the training wheel version, because Jesus is going to come along and he's going to say, well, you say, I haven't committed adultery, but I say, if you've looked at someone with lust, you've committed adultery. You say, I haven't committed murder, but I say, if you've looked at somebody with hate in your heart. I'm not ready for the advanced Jesus class. I'm still in Ten Commandments 101. How is it that we practice these things? I gave the kids homework to just do one thing. And I think most of us would sit here and feel pretty good. Okay, I'm going to pick murder. Thou shalt not murder. I'm going to do really well at that this week and come back. And then I'm going to invite you to drive on 57 this week and do the Jesus understanding of looking at somebody with hate in your heart and tell me if you still made it through. Or you can go through the line at Walmart. Are we putting the energy into the practice of these basics that will build things later? I think one of the things is it's very easy to just write this off as this is old stuff, right? I got 6 out of 10. That's almost a passing grade. How do we practice these things? Do we put any energy into it at all, or do we just think that having it on a yard sign is good enough? Jesus, if you know the text that our call to worship came from, gets this sprung on him. He has a legal scholar, religious scholar who knows the rules and knows the laws, and he comes up to him and says, well, how does this all work? What's the greatest commandment? What is the greatest commandment? You guys know it. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. And the second one is like it. And your neighbor is yourself. I'm not sure that's the answer the expert was looking for, right? Because that's a challenge. It's easy for us to go through the Ten Commandments and say, oh, did that one, yes. I haven't made any graven images lately. Yes, got one checked off. Graven images are not a temptation for me. Yes. Did you see how long the commandment about the Sabbath is? It's not just remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It's shut it all down because everybody gets one. The animals get one. The slaves get one. The resident aliens get one. The women get one. The men get one. Everybody gets Sabbath. Now, we're a bit of an unusual church on many levels, but the number one is that we're not all racing out of here to go have lunch at a restaurant. We're going over there to have lunch. How do we, the body of Christ, give witness to Sabbath time when we are often the ones forcing people to work at our convenience? This is not just old stuff. This is new stuff. This is stuff for us to make a living in God's pattern, not in the pattern of our society. These tablets come, the second set after Moses breaks the first set, to the people who had been enslaved to Pharaoh in Egypt, and they are in the wilderness before they get to their new home. Now, I have moved several times through the years, and I know that one of the things I do when I get to a new place is I try to make it work exactly like the old place. Well, this should be in the cabinet to the left of the stove. Oh, this kitchen doesn't have a cabinet to the left of the stove. How's that going to work? You have to figure it out. You have to put the glasses in a new place. The silverware has to go in a new place. The hot pads go in a different place. The dish towels go in a different place. The measuring cups go someplace else. The knives hang on the wall instead of in a chopping block, whatever it is. That is the Ten Commandments to the people leaving slavery in Egypt. They're having to adapt to a new world. If we take seriously their story as our story, then the Ten Commandments are for us, leaving behind a world of slavery to sin and death, freed in the waters of baptism, to a new life. But we, like them, keep on going back to the way it was at the last place. So if we want to change that, how are we going to change that? How many of you have been told by your doctor you need to lose weight? I do not need a show of hands. How many of you have vowed to exercise and change your diet? Does it just magically happen? Something's got to give, right? We got to change. We've got to want to change. We've got to get in practice until it becomes normal, the new normal, until it becomes the pattern that we reset our lives to. And that is how the Ten Commandments and the greatest commandments work. That until we practice them enough, that they are our default setting. That they are our default setting. We are just falling short. You know what it is that we're each bad at. We know our own foibles, right? How many of you have a foible? Can you work on it this week? Or it's the start of the month, I'll give you the whole month of October to get better at it. Guess what? There's going to be another foible next month. And you may backslide a little bit on this foible. How do you want to practice being at work in the world? Because the Ten Commandments are given to the people so that they live them. Not that they're just on a rock at Moses' house. For us, the question is, are we willing to put in 10,000 hours to become experts at being God's faithful people? Because an hour a week on Sunday morning is going to take more time than we have. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.